Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls here on Good Friday. Welcome to Good Friday New Life Live.
Bit of a problem.
Okay, but that's still not a reason to keep you from your kids.
I'm very interested where this sexualized talk comes from.
He tells me he's paying off his debts that will help us in the long run.
Oh, no. This is ridiculous, Kathy.
Let me get better. Okay. Speaking of our church, and he does not tithe.
You may need to get a vitamin supplement that has spine. It might have, because you need to stand up for your kids.
I made kind of a last attempt.
What do you mean, last attempt? You're 52. Didn't you ever watch The Love Boat, man?
I would want you to develop the way that God intended you to develop, which is as a person who is in charge of their ship and has faith and is healing, and marriage is the secondary issue.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and this is the second biggest day in the Christian faith. The day that Jesus Christ was crucified, signified by Good Friday. I don't know. Why do they call it Good Friday?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I guess it's good that our sins were taken care of.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, this is the thing that I love about the Christian faith, is that it just makes sense that none of us can ever be good enough to earn our way to heaven. But Christ has come and paid that price, and he essentially perfected us to come into the presence of God, to take away all of this sin and ugliness, and he died for it, and they put him in a grave. I just love some of the great spirituals, "Were You There?" He never said a mumbling word. I don't know if you know those songs, but man, they really communicate the despair. And you can imagine what it would be like for the disciples who thought that, hey, the big kingdom was going to happen here, that they were going to get to be, I don't know, princes or senators or secretary of state or something. Because when he was riding in on that donkey, I mean, it was the big time. He was being honored in a way that they thought he should be. And then just a few days later, he's hanging on a cross, dying. Pretty tough perspective change for those guys.
Well, from our perspective, their perspective was right, but there's a several thousand year delay between the first coming and the second coming in the kingdom. So, it is an exciting day. You know, I was thinking as you said that, Steve, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Yeah. Not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. So what a wonderful passage of Scripture.
That's a gift. And it's such a good day to reflect on what he did for us, and to really feel the sadness and heaviness, I think.
And no matter what happens, this lifetime is hard, but
nothing compares.
The hope of our eternal life is what helps sustain us today, that this agitation in this world, the futility, will improve. And when we're with the Lord, God says he'll wipe away every tear from our eyes. And that is a wonderful thought about the future.
Well, the other thing is that no matter how much guilt and shame you experience, you know, it's taken care of. It is, it's taken care of. And I think the worst thing we can do is to wallow in our guilt and shame. It kind of nullifies the power of the resurrection. It's kind of like saying, well, maybe it really didn't even happen if I can't accept the gift that God gave us through it. We want you to be free. I mean, the new life is free from regrets of the past, not because you just go sin and do whatever you want to after that, but it's because our sins are taken care of, and God wants us to use what we've learned, use the pain that we've experienced to reach out and help other people. So if you're still back there in the past, living with the pain that should have been gone a long time ago, it was a great day to pick up a Bible and read about what Christ did on the cross for us. And what's going to happen on Sunday, we'll celebrate his rising up from the grave, and that resurrection then leading to his ascension into heaven, where he sits before God and makes our case, pleads our case before God, saying we're not guilty because of what he has done. We'll be back right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and as my camera is having difficulties, we'll let you stare at them a little while. So you guys look really good now.
All right, we'll do our best. Yes. We'll smile into the camera.
Well, your best is better than most people's worst or whatever.
Well, thank
hey,
you.
Let's
talking
jump
to
over.
Jill, I think.
Yeah. Let's jump over here and talk with Amy. Amy's calling us from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And Amy, you're on, and we're glad you are. Welcome to New Life Live.
Well, I was just thinking while I was on the phone, there's a verse that says, by faith you can move mountains.
Yes.
And I'm reading the book, How We Love, and I would like to know how I can softly move the mountains and develop and maintain intimacy in my marriage as well as relationships with others.
Okay. Mylon, Jill, what do you guys think?
Well, that's a great question, and mountains are moved a little bit at a time, and at the end of our book, we talk about the comfort circle as being a way that we build emotional intimacy, and we learn to listen and be aware of our feelings and speak the truth in love, and we learn to comfort one another. The Bible talks so much about the one another's of Scripture, bear one another's burdens, love each other, comfort one another, encourage one another. And, you know, the body of Christ doesn't do that very well. So if you learn to be a great listener to people and you have self-awareness in yourself to know what you're thinking and feeling and you invite others to be self-aware, get out the little feelings word list and you ask them, well, what do you feel about that? And you share what you're feeling and you're a good listener, you will become a much better relator and connector than the majority of people on planet Earth. It's a great question.
What do you think?
Takes hard work.
It is. Well, I guess that's where I need to start, because...
That's not what you wanted to hear, though, was it?
Well, what did you want to hear? Maybe we can help you with that.
Like, is there another question, really?
Go to chapter 8 in the workbook, and that's your answer.
So that it will all come together, and it'll feel good, and...
Yeah, well, I'm like... Like the truck drivers that we're on, I totally identify with that, and I'm emotionally charged, and I don't know. So during those moments, for me to be aware, have self-awareness, and listen, it's hard for me, I guess, to get a grip. I want to contain, but to be able to vocalize in a respectful way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Amy, are you aware when you start amping up? When things start getting more charged for you emotionally?
It can be instantly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because
I'm not a connector. I'm an avoider. And so for me to, I guess, receptive enough to be more others focused. It's more about me.
Steve, what are you opening there?
Yeah.
Well,
sounds like
I'm
a candy bar.
I'm trying to get no food. I'm trying to get this issue open here.
I see.
And,
nice.
And the thing that I'm hearing is that this is a situation where you're kind of out of control before you ever enter into the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're kind of living a bit amped up. And okay. It's as if there's this anxiety within you. And at the moments when you might be able to connect, no way, because there's just so much anxiety and so much emotion. Have you ever done anything to try to resolve all that within you, no matter what anybody else does?
Counseling?
Well, anything.
How's
that
going?
Is that a question, or are you doing that?
the question was, what have I done? What have I tried?
Mm-hmm.
I tried,
and so you said counseling. Okay.
Did it help? Did you go very long?
No.
Because
I did not go long, and no, I didn't feel like it helped. It seems like I have to go through growth periods to come to a place of.
Well, and Amy, counseling is a relationship as well, and it's a place to kind of practice staying in the moment and staying with something. So, which could be then, you know, then would help in your other relationships. So, if you go to counseling and then you leave without talking about how uncomfortable you are, then yes, it's not going to feel very effective.
See, what Jill just said was very important, Amy, because if you get into counseling, especially with your spouse, you're forced to press through those uncomfortable moments where you have to learn to listen in the heat of the emotional explosion going on inside of you. And you have to learn that, well, in maybe 30, 45 seconds, 60 seconds, that will settle down and I begin to think again. And you need to learn to press through and have conversations, and it's a learned skill. We do it by faith, and a mountain will eventually get moved, but it's not going to happen as if just like we wave some magic wand. It is training. And odds are, Amy, you didn't get trained in your family of origin to know how to have a great relationship.
Correct.
All right. So what makes us think then that, you know, we're just going to automatically get married and know how to do that? We don't. You know, the Bible says a lot about training up a child in the way which he should go, which is to be self-aware, Psalm 139. Speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4. Listen to one another, James 1. And comfort one another, 2 Corinthians 1. We don't know how to practically do what God is telling us to do.
Well, and then you throw anxiety in feeling horribly uncomfortable,
yes.
being
mm-hmm.
emotionally charged, and you want to move away from that.
Yes.
Well, something I want to know is, separate and apart from your husband, who is the person in your life that has generated the most emotion or discomfort in your life? Who is that person?
Negatively or positively?
Negative.
Other than my husband, my mother.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What was it? What was that all about? What was the problem?
With my mother?
Yeah.
When you try to be vulnerable and honest with how you feel or think, that may be different than her, it's met with criticism.
Okay.
Very cold, very abrupt. There's no emotional connection.
Well, did you kind of have to fight to be recognized by her, to be heard by her?
I don't try.
You didn't try?
I don't try anymore.
Mm. Okay. It,
because it's too painful.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Of course.
Why, what's the point of being vulnerable? I can't talk on any level with her, honestly, because it's just painful. That's why we really don't.
You know, Amy, there's another thing that is coming across my mind. You might also be an introvert because you take a while to answer questions and you think about them and then you come up with a clear answer. And introverts, sometimes when they're surrounded by a bunch of people that talk or whatever, they never can quite fully get out their answers because people are not patient enough to listen to them. So that might be adding a bit to the problem. So what I would do is I'd get into some counseling with your husband, and I'd say, I want to take our marriage to a new level. I'm willing to learn and grow. I know where my areas of reactivity are. Let's do this together. And that would be a great place for you to start.
And sometimes even, Amy, when it's too hard to maybe talk directly, sometimes we have to kind of back way up and say, okay, when do I feel like I can say more of what I am feeling? Maybe you even start writing to your husband and sharing that. And you guys do some writing back and forth to start to bridge that gap so that you can hold on to those thoughts, you know, a little bit more. And then when you come together, you've got that to remind you.
Steve and Jill, do you guys think that it's possible her husband in some ways could be reminding her of her mom?
Well, that's what I wondered. How similar, you know, how different or similar are they?
Or if not reminding her, at least she's acting out the drama between mm-hmm. her mom and her in the form of her husband.
Right, as if he's going to be as critical as...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's equal because his mother had abandoned him at age one with his grandparents. So I'm like the replica of her, and he's like the replica of my mom. Mm-hmm. Now, my husband will not go to counseling, and I guess that's one of the reasons I'm calling, is what can I do independently within our marriage to try to build the trust and intimacy to the level that maybe he will respectfully go to a third party.
Well, Steve and Jill answered that. They said you get into some individual counseling. Jill said you build that trust with another person. You start learning these skills while you stay in relationship with a person, a therapist, and then you invite your husband in later.
And as I suggested, maybe you guys start writing about what's mm-hmm. so scary about moving towards each other.
Yeah.
And it's just a little bit at a time. You know, you put a little bit out there and take that risk to expose it and, you know, see what each other does with it.
You know, we can only do so much on radio when we're dealing with these things. I think it's quite common for us to ask people, examine what drama is being played out again. Examine what person you're being reminded of in that drama, who the other person represents. And then also, what about just the good old-fashioned guilt, shame, and anxiety that's going on inside of you, whether it's from someone else, what they've done to you, or mm-hmm. decisions that you've made? I think when we stop long enough in the conflict, and of course the conflict prevents us from stopping. We don't have to stop. We don't have to look at ourselves as long as we're fighting. I think if we stop long enough to look at some of this, we come to find out, life makes a lot of sense. All right. Well,
I love Amy's heart. I love her heart. She's trying. Yes. She's reading. She's studying. She's calling a show saying, what can I do to grow? I love that. Way to go, Amy.
Yeah. Thank you, Amy, for calling us. All right. Let's go over here to Dennis from Orlando, Florida, WTLN. Hi, Dennis. Welcome to New Life. How you doing?
All right.
Well, turn that radio off in the background, and you'll hear us better, and we'll hear you. Okay.
Okay.
What's up?
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you, yes.
Yes. I was wondering, do you believe, like, in evil spirits?
Well, yes, we do, but explain what you're talking about.
Well, I've been dealing with evil spirits, and I believe in God, and I was wondering, what do I have to do to expel these evil spirits out of my life? And I was wondering if you can give me some advice, or maybe you can send me some information that would be helpful to me of expelling these evil spirits out of my life.
Well, when we come back from the break, could we talk a little bit more about what the evil spirits are and what they're doing to you and when they started, things like that? That'd be
sure.
All right? All right, you're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we've got counselors all over this country, about 1,000 of them, waiting, just waiting. You are listening to a flashback Good Friday. This is the day that Jesus died for our sins in a horrible way. And what he calls us to do is die to ourselves. And some of you, you know what you need to die to. You need to die to that desire for pornography, lust, whatever it is. And what a great thing to be able to say that it was on Good Friday that I made a phone call that changed my life. Now, the number is 1-800-NEW-LIFE. On April the 18th, that's a Saturday. It's a one-day event. And you don't have to travel. We're going to do it online. You don't have to stay in a hotel. It's really an amazing plan that we've got for you. A great way to get into sexual integrity and out of sexual sin, lust, and the rest. It is an honor to Jesus, to God, to your spouse, mother, sisters all over. I want to tell you, this is the time to do it. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and sign up
for a very, very unique experience that will launch you into a whole new life of sexual integrity where you will find victory. Right now, I want to take a break, and then we'll talk to Dennis about what he's been going through and what we can do to help. But remember, every man's battle, the number 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. We're talking with Dennis. Dennis is struggling with evil spirits. And tell us what you're talking about, Dennis. What do you mean that you have these evil spirits are influencing you? What's going on?
Well, yeah, I've been dealing with evil spirits since the year of 2003. And they're literally trying to, with the evil spirits, they literally want to take my life. And I believe in God. And the reason why the evil spirits have taken a hold of me because of my belief in God. And I was wondering, maybe you may have like some information or something that you can send me to help me expel these evil spirits out of my life.
Well, Mylon, you want to tackle this? You know, Dennis, was there something specific that happened back then that you think triggered this?
Back in 2003, yes. It's because of my belief, because my strong belief in Christ himself.
Is that when you became a Christian, Dennis?
In God.
Dennis, is that when you became a Christian?
I've been a Christian all my life.
Oh. Okay, but in 2003... did your faith change?
Well, no, my faith has not changed. It's the reason, the reason why I'm going through what I'm going through is because of my belief in Christ, because of my belief in Jesus. And the evil spirits, they're really trying to take my life, and I want everything to change.
Dennis, how old are you?
I'm 39 years old.
Okay.
And how? What have you done to try to rid yourself of the evil spirits?
Well, I've been praying, and I have had others pray for me as well. And I have been really crying out to the Lord. And really, I really haven't had any success of expelling these spirits out of my life. And the reason of me calling you guys today is to find out maybe... maybe you can give me some advice or some information that will be helpful to me.
Okay. Now, I just have one more question, and then I want to hear from Mylon. But let's say that you were at work, just doing the work that you normally do. What would it feel like for this evil spirit to come upon you and cause you a problem? Tell us about that.
Well, it's very hard. It's hard. And they come up upon me, and they try to stop me from doing everything. They try to stop me from going on with my life. But by me having strong faith in Christ, I have been able to overcome them when they come upon me. Because I have had to work with these evil spirits on me. And since I have strong faith in Christ, the evil spirits haven't been able to overcome me because of my strong faith in the Lord. And I've been standing strong in his word.
Well, Mylon, you have some thoughts about it? As a pastor, as a clinician, what do you think?
Well, you know, the Bible says that if I have a belief in Christ, and Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of me, and greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world.
Right.
And the Bible says if I resist Satan, he will flee from me. Now, I do believe, and you know, we as a radio team believe that there are good forces of evil and forces of good, and but yet the idea of a Christian being tormented by evil spirits is not what we would think should be the norm. And so my concern is sometimes we can also have psychological conditions that cause us to hear voices, to believe certain things, and sometimes I've come to believe and realize there is an importance of finding a great Christian therapist who can help me discern and sort out the difference and whether there may be more going on here than just evil spirits. We can attribute to evil spirits some of our internal thoughts and some of our internal drives and some of our shame and some of our internal animating forces. We can interpret as evil forces, especially if they're self-destructive. So I think we just need to get some good assessments here. Jill, what would you add to that?
Because there can be medical components to this, psychological components. We're definitely talking about spiritual components. And it's important to get all those things checked out. And so, you know, going to your pastor, going to your medical doctor, going to, you know, a psychologist to help sort this out. So, Dennis, so that you can get to the bottom of it and do the intervention that is the most effective given your situation.
You know, we had someone live with us who was plagued by this. And so the suggestion was made by me that she go to a place where they cast out demons, that she actually experience an exorcism. And so she did. And when they came back 2 days later, then I suggested, okay, now we tried that strictly spiritual approach. Now let's try to rule out something emotional, psychological, genetic, something that's physiological. And so that's when she discovered that she really needed to be on a certain medication for her to not feel like they're there. Now here's what I think evil spirits can do. If they over-spiritualize a problem, if they can lead you down a path to where you think there is no hope for you and no help for you, when there's help and a medication could clear your mind, then that's truly evil right there, because it's preventing you from being the person that God called you to be. So my hope and prayer, Dennis, would be that you would look at some different components of this. And I want you to hold on. We're going to try to find a counselor for you in your area. I think it could make all the difference in the world. So you hold on, and we'll try to get that for you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need a counselor, we'd love to talk to you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll take a break and come right back right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry, with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
We're back. A lot of different views on evil spirits. You know, you could say that pornography was an evil spirit. It certainly has an evil spirit influence. And I don't know, I just think it's important that we not negate the power of evil spirits or evil, but also that we look at all sorts of different angles when we have a problem emotionally or mentally. Let's go over here to John from Aurora, Nebraska. He listens on KMMJ, and we're glad that he does. Hello, John. Welcome to New Life.
Thank you very much. It's
sure.
A pleasure to talk to
y'all.
I've Thank been you. A listener for many years and have benefited greatly, of course, from your good advice through those years. But oftentimes, and I've been married for 32 years this May, and have three kids, and they're all doing very well. I think our marriage is doing very well, although it's one of those things where you think you could always do some fine-tuning, you know? And so I, from time to time, think about the what the possibility would be of going to a New Life weekend with my wife and just improving on what I consider to be already a really great relationship.
Go ahead. Well, I'm just going
to
say, a lot of people do that. You know, they just say, okay, let's take it to the next level. They're not about to divorce. They're not in big conflict. But they would like to develop a deeper, richer intimacy. But you had another question?
Well, basically, you know, my concern is that I always come up short in terms of following through on this, is that I am not a Christian. I'm a follower of a different religion, very happy with that.
Yeah.
And feel that a great commonality with Christianity. However, I wonder how much of the weekend. I mean, oftentimes, like earlier, I heard you talking about the Trinity, and just now you were talking about evil spirits and so on and so forth. My experience has been, when I've talked to friends in the clergy, is that they often say things that are scripturally palatable to their congregations or so forth, but they don't really believe them all that much themselves, but they feel like they have to say them. And for instance, when you're talking about evil spirits, I would wonder if you all don't believe that the vast majority of the cases have to do with, like you were pointing out, a psychological or emotional mental disturbance as opposed to some embodiment of evil that overtakes and controls a person from...
Yeah.
So to speak, from the outside in.
Okay, I want to address two things that you said so far. One is about the weekend and the influence that's there. You know, I actually, my wife and I suggested to a Jewish woman that she should attend this weekend, that it would really be beneficial. And she did. And so I asked her afterwards, I said, did the Christian part of this, was that ever offensive to you or overdone in any way? And she said, no, it wasn't. And we have quite a few people that aren't Christians that listen to our program. Most of the time, if you've listened a long time, we don't have questions about evil spirits and the Trinity. That's mm-hmm. usually handled by Hank Hanegraaff and his program. But here's what I was trying to say to this man about evil spirits, is that sometimes it's just not so obvious as, okay, I've got this spirit that's overcome me and I feel it. I think there's a more subtle evil influence. I think there's evil in the world. There's an evil influence that might prevent me from doing the very thing that would help me. And I think that's a very great evil. But I'll let Jill and Mylon weigh in on this too.
Well, John, certainly, you know, when people call, you know, we try to really hear what's going on with them as best we can in a short amount of time and be as sensitive as possible to their situation. And, you know, we only get a snapshot, so we don't know all of the variables around a situation. So there's a lot of things that are possible given the information we're given. And so, you know, certainly we were trying to present several different options of what might be going on with the gentleman that called. And, you know, regardless of exactly what's going on with him, he's definitely struggling and in a lot of pain. And mm-hmm. we're trying to point him to a place where he can get some relief mm-hmm. in the best way possible.
So, John, yes, a person could be demon-possessed. You ask about embodied by a spirit. Yes, that could happen. However, it's untenable to think that a Christian who has the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of him could also be embodied by a demon at the same time. I would theologically struggle with that. But secondly, though, to be influenced, sure. I mean, the Bible, I mean, there's a great, great book written by C.S. Lewis called Screwtape Letters, which is a senior demon training a junior demon how to keep his subjects in a compromised position their whole life and never live fully for God. And it's a brilliant work that C.S. Lewis did, and I don't think, you know, somebody as smart as C.S. Lewis obviously didn't over-intellectualize everything. He realized that, yes, there are evil spirits in the world, and they do plot to try mm-hmm. to keep us from living the effective Christian life. So I would agree with Jill. We try and cover a broad spectrum here of thoughts, and we can't really know this man's life. Now, but if you think about it, this previous caller was from Florida. Now let's just think. Florida isn't far from the Caribbean, and the Caribbean has a lot of witchcraft and voodoo and all kinds of stuff in it. So what if he came from a history of that? You know, there could be, you know, generational torment going on, and so we don't want to overlook that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but for instance, let me put you all on the spot a little bit here.
Okay.
You're saying to me then that, and I would assume, I don't put words in your mouth, but that this evil originated when the archangel Lucifer got too big for his britches, so to speak, and decided to do warfare with God Almighty, and so there was a battle and he was thrown out. I mean, you literally believe that story as being historical fact. Is that right?
Well, it says so in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14 is the passage you're talking about. And it says precisely where God talks about the origin of evil. So we can say, well, where did it come from? That's what I happen to believe. That would be a New Testament evangelical perspective.
Right, but at the same time, you guys employ scientific methodology, experience, and testing, and so on and so forth in your practice and in your counsel. My problem is with that is how to jibe the scientific explanation mm-hmm. for these things with the a particular interpretation, which you would grant. I would suppose that there are many different ways to interpret. The Catholic Church doesn't believe in these things literally, the story of Genesis literally. They believe the Pope has said he believes in evolution, so on. Not that I'm a Catholic, but this I'm just trying to offer this as there are other explanations for these things other than literal. Why do you need to have, or how do you make the distinction?
Okay, well, it's difficult to make the distinction, but the scripture that we read and believe in, it describes kind of a parallel world. Mm-hmm. And it says, what we're fighting here, really isn't the thing we're up against.
Mm-hmm.
There's something far beyond us. It's going on at the same time that we're experiencing light and air and breath and the physical elements. It's a spiritual battle. And I can't see that, but I do believe it's there. It's a parallel world. Now, what do I do in the meantime? Well, I use everything that my mind has to try to evaluate every situation. There are some situations that I have read about. I haven't seen them. I believe the account is true, but the only way you could say this happened would be an evil spirit came upon someone and radically left. So I do believe that this still occurs, but the thing I would say in the Christian faith, I think it's more rare than people realize, and oftentimes very clinical scientific things that you would look at from a scientific perspective are shuffled off into the area of the spiritual or evil spirits, and so the real problem isn't dealt with.
Well, what happens is that psychologists and theologians can take two polarized camps. It's all a scientific problem of the mind, and then the theologians can say, well, it's all spiritual, and then I would say that here on New Life, we recognize that both are true, that we have emotional issues. They do plague us. We do get bent in our thinking. C.S. Lewis said, I'm made in the image and likeness of God, but the image is bent. It's marred. So yeah. we struggle under that. And
then the other the other element here is the element of faith.
Mm-hmm.
When not everything can be perfectly understood or explained, then rather than us reject the whole thing, I personally feel like I'm by faith I accept certain things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that rejects reality. I just believe it accepts the reality that some things our finite minds just simply cannot comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, we will know the ultimate. I'm really glad you called. I don't know how much we help, but thank you for calling, John. I really appreciate it. We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And we were talking about the New Life Weekend. I tell you, I think if you would give it a try, you would be surprised at how so many people from different denominations, some different religions, some agnostic, some atheist, come and they benefit, because I think it's kind of a supernatural gathering there with a lot of really unevil spirits and forces working together. If you're interested, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Now I want to go over here to Christine. She's calling from WBYN in Pennsylvania. Hi, Christine. We don't have a lot of time, but I did want to get to your call. How could we help you today?
Hi, thank you very much. This has been a long time running, several times calling, and a lot of prayer to get through. My call today is, my husband has had this receptionist that started to work with him a few months before he and I got together. They had a sexual affair, an emotional affair. The emotional affair lasted 3.5 years. We've been married 4 years. I don't know how to cope with this man anymore, and every day he goes to work, he works with her. It's cutting my wounds open and pouring salt over them. Yeah. I have spent 2.5 years of counseling because it's forced me to look at my childhood wounds, traumas, abuses, and some of the things that I grew up there, which was great in that aspect. So it really forced me to look at myself. And on the other aspect, it forced me to make some critical changes.
Yeah. Well, what does he say? What does he say about the situation? What does he tell you?
Well, at first it was nothing, they're for nothing, they're not friends, but then, I mean, she called, when we got married in Hawaii in our honeymoon, she called there to see if he actually did. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of history of a lot of lies, deception.
But what is he saying now about you being concerned and him going to work around her? What does he say?
Well, he says now that it's, you know, he already apologized and repented, it's no big deal, they're no longer nothing, but then he comes home with a hair on his shirt. I don't have blonde, short hair, I have long, dark hair, so... It just, you know, another one of those, here we go again.
Well, you're very, very separated. You're very separated, and you're justified. What do you guys think?
So, Christine, he hasn't done what you need him to do to help you feel secure.
I don't feel secure. I don't feel safe. I'm agitated. I'm anxious. I'm angry. You know, I'm to the point now where I love him, but I can't keep going for marriage counseling by myself. We've had three pastors tell him, you can't work with this woman. But my husband, I had actually confronted her husband about their affair.
What did he say?
His body language said he knew about it, but he said, you know, I just want to encourage you to keep going for counseling and talk to your pastor. But needless to say, he said, my wife's not going to go get another job. Your husband's the one that's going to get fired. And meanwhile, I get a letter from the company lawyer, because my husband now has protected her to the point where I get a letter from the company lawyer threatening and harassing me. I don't even work there.
That's so sad, the level of separation between you and your husband. That's about as severe as it gets. Mylon, you have a thought?
Well, yes. You've been married 4 years, is that right?
Yes, together five.
Okay. Together five,
like
married
40.
Okay. Well, see, I'm just saying, I don't know that you got this relationship started off on the right foot to begin with. Okay.
No, sir, it sure isn't.
Okay, and that's the really important spot that you need to end. And, you know, I don't know what your husband is doing here. He sounds like he's committed adultery. You know,
yes.
if that's the case, you have to ask yourself, how hard do I want to make this work with a man who is a proven adulterer and apparently doesn't seem to repent, isn't changing? And you have to make a call here in terms of what you are going to do. He might not be a trustworthy person, and you may have gotten yourself into a situation that may never build security in you.
I can appreciate that, and that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
And I had made the mistake of, I had some money that was due to me. I finally got it after 8 long years, and I invested that into building a ministry building on our property and paid off the house and all this. Now I'm, like, financially broke. He's got total control. I intend to come to New Life Weekend, and he's using every excuse in the book, and I will take my car and drive there in faith, and God will provide for me because my heart is in the right place. But I feel angry because it's like, come on, he tells me.
Right.
He says to
me, Christine, let me just interrupt here. I think that you need to say to him that if this is really no big deal, then you need to see him putting your relationship first, and instead of the excuses of not coming to things and not willing to work on the relationship. Because, again, if it's no big deal, then why would he not want to put his energy and efforts into your relationship so that it really is no big deal? Because that's what's going to make you feel secure if you feel like you and he are on the same page and together.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's sad, but I think probably she couldn't be fired. He would have to up and quit. He's probably not able to find another job. And what would be great at the New Life Weekend is simply that you guys come up with some parameters that would help you to not get in worse shape and then hopefully take some steps to come back together as husband and wife. But I think this is a great example, men, to look at this guy who's totally dismissive of his wife's mm-hmm. concerns and say to yourself, I don't ever want to be that way to my wife. I don't want to be that kind of man who can't see the forest for the trees, or he sees it, but he doesn't care. And it's a great challenge there. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. I hope that that will help you, and I'll send you Regret-Free Living. And, man, what a tough situation. I hate to hear these stories of people having affairs and they still work together. It's tough.
Well, it is tough.
That's a no-win situation.
Well, it is, but the guy, the husband, did the same thing with Christine, the caller, that he did with the receptionist. He did the same thing. He started an illicit sexual relationship, mm-hmm. and it just strung her along. And then yep. Christine married him, but that's never the way to start a marriage.
That's right. Well, we hope that we provided some kind of help today. Interesting program to me. I always love it when the big issues come up. Well, this is Flashback Good Friday with Jill and Mylon. As we close out the program, again, I want to mention to you Every Man's Battle, April the 18th. This is the time. This is the day to make that phone call and find out all about Every Man's Battle Workshop. I hope and pray that something that's been said here today or, I don't know, just something somewhere would provide you with the encouragement and the strength and even the courage to pick up a phone that might feel like it weighs 2,000 pounds and say, I need some help with this sexual integrity thing, and I'm going to do it. It's just so wonderful to be able to say it was Good Friday 2020 that I made the call that changed my life. I'll never, ever be the same. That's what I want for you. So call us. Also, Club New Life. Here is this $30 a month program. And some of you may really be in some financial trouble. I'm not talking to you, but if you're not, if you still have the resources, $30 a month. And here's what I'll do to say thank you. I will send you a Life Recovery Bible with the workbook that goes with it, with a journal through the four different seasons of recovery. I love this journal. A lot of people don't even know it exists. And then I'll send you four more workbooks that handle all of those tough issues like divorce and sexual integrity and depression and problems with eating. That's our way of saying thank you for joining Club New Life. It's the transformation packet. I'll get that out to you. But here's the main thing I really want to say to you. Never before have we needed your help, and a gift of any amount would mean so much to us. And then finally, Every Man's Battle. This is the month to do it. This is the time. Call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let us help you, especially with the problem of sexual integrity. Hope and pray that this is going to be a great weekend for you, that we will all honor our Lord in thinking of the great gift of the crucifixion and the great hope in the resurrection. And then we'll see you here again on Monday for more of New Life. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.